You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you. And if you're with us online, it's so good to see you too. We are in for a great morning. We've already had a great morning. What about that prayer time this morning? How good was that? And that time of worship? If you haven't already heard, we serve a good God. And that is the truth. And He will never let us down. You know, if we look at the word place this morning, the word place, what does that mean to you? Does the word place maybe mean your house or a place where you like to walk to? Or maybe it's somewhere where you like to relax? Or it might be a place where you like to go on holidays. For example, I love going to Port Elliot. That's my place. I love the beach. I love the bakery. I love the walks because you've got to have a walk after you've been to the bakery. And I love the coffee. For me, that place brings up such good memories. Is there a place this morning that speaks to you? What does the word place mean? It means a particular position, point or area or location. And there is a place that God is wanting to take each one of us. It's not geographically, but it's emotionally and spiritually. A place where you and I can hear God so clearly. A place where we can see something that we haven't seen before. Maybe it's a place from lack to freedom. Maybe it's a place from shame to freedom. Maybe it's a place from hopelessness to hope. Maybe it's a place from being sick to being healed. There is a place that God is wanting to take each one of us. Not because we're perfect, but because He loves us and He cares for us. A place to hear His voice. A place to come into revelation. A place to come into hearing what He has for you right now. He is creating a place for you to hear. His presence is here. His anointing is here. As you come to Him this morning, say, God, this is who I am. This is what I offer you. Here is my sickness. Here is my disease. Here is my barrenness. Here is my struggle. This morning, there is a place for you. Because God loves and cares for you so much. He wants to bring you into that place of restoration. He wants to bring you into that place of healing. He wants to bring you into that place of freedom. Whatever it is that you need this morning, there is a place for you. And this morning, I actually just want you to rest. Rest in that place. Rest in His peace and rest in His presence. You know, when Samuel was a little boy and he was in the temple serving Eli the priest, who was much older than him. And by the time we hear this story in 1 Samuel, we find out that Eli had poor eyesight. And Samuel was going about his business. He knew the duties. He knew the routines. But at that time, he hadn't heard the voice of God. And when he was laying down in his bed, suddenly he heard this voice. And for him, he thought, oh, that's Eli. So he ran to Eli saying, Eli, here I am. And Eli said, that wasn't me. And then he said to him, go back into your place. And he went back into his place. And it seemed like it was just an ordinary place. It's just where he slept at night. It might have seemed ordinary. It might have seemed familiar. But suddenly, the ordinary and the familiar became supernatural in the hands of God. And he then experienced the revelation of knowing God's voice. He then came into a place of open communication with His Heavenly Father. Maybe there's something that you are needing to hear from God this morning. Maybe there's some, God, I have asked this question over and over again. Lord God, I have come to you in my pain, in my struggle, in my helplessness. And right now, God is saying, I'm creating a space and I'm creating a place for you to hear from me this morning. And you know what we need to do? We need to incline our ear. This place right now might seem familiar to you, but right now, in the hands of God, we are touching the supernatural. We are touching miracles. We are touching heaven. And this morning, we as a body of believers who know that we stand on the victory side, we know that we remember what he has done and will continue to remember. We know that he is a good God and will never, ever, ever, ever let us down. And right now we choose to incline our ear to you. We choose to hear not just what I'm saying, but right now what the Holy Spirit is saying to each one of you, because we are allowing a time and a place to hear from God. Lord God, we just come to you right now. And we just are open. We are so open to receive from you and hear from you, because you are a good God. And we know that you will never let us down. Lord God, take my words and cause them to be supernatural into the hearts and lives of our listeners this morning. Not because of me, but because of you, mighty God, because you are a good God. And right now, I know you are speaking to people. And right now, we lean in, we create a place so that we can hear from you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, there was this lady called Susanna Wesley, and she was the mother of John and Charles Wesley, who had a big hand in the history of the church back in, the 1700s. And she had 10 children. Can you imagine? 10 children. I'm sure some of you that have only got one or two think that's hard enough. She had 10. And in the busyness of her life, what she would do is she would get her apron and she would put it over her head. And then that was to signify to everyone around her, all the children, oh no, this is mum's time of prayer. We cannot disturb her. This for her was her time of praying to God. That piece of fabric signified to everyone in the house, don't disturb mum. This is her time with praying to God. And the ordinary became supernatural, even in her household, as she spent that time with God. God is wanting to speak to us. There was a place of communication that she came into, and that is this morning what we have entered into, that place of communication. The apron has gone over her head. We are inclining our ear to hear what God is wanting to say. You know, this morning I want us to be in the place where we hear from God, from a place that seems ordinary to a place that is now supernatural, and it's a place for change and revelation. And for the widow that we find in 2 Kings, God wanted to take her to a place from shame to freedom, from lack to freedom. You know, what was going on in the widow's life that she needed a miracle from God? What got her to the place of such desperation? And in 2 Kings 4, 1-4, we read, and it says, one day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, my husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my 2 sons as slaves. What can I do to help? Says Elisha. Tell me, what do you have in the house? Nothing at all, she replied, except a flask of oil. And Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into the house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled. What was the widow's situation? When we see her in a dire situation. She has lost her husband. Her boys have lost their father. She has lost the caregiver, the provider, someone that she leant on, someone that she trusted, someone that she loved. Her best friend has now passed away. And we don't see this lady in good times. We meet this lady when she is in a downright hard situation. You know, we don't meet her when she had plenty, when she had her family around her. We meet her when she has lost her husband and now there is the prospect of losing her boys. She is at a time of loss. We meet her when she is down and she is desperate and she's struggling to know what to do. Which way do I turn? What do I do? My back is against the wall. What can I do in this situation? And she's not sure what steps to take next. You know, this has been a huge emotional toll on herself and her boys. You know, this time of grieving, this time of loss has had an impact on her emotionally and physically. And now she's finding a financial toll, one that could take her boys away. And I'm sure that caused her many a sleepless night, trying to work out what do I do in this situation. And I'm sure the boys didn't want to leave their mum alone during this time. She had just lost her husband and now her boys could be potentially taken away and she would be all alone. You know, the widow was in a place of desperation, but God wanted to take her to a place of peace. Have you ever felt like that? In a place of desperation and needing to hear from God and needing answers. We will still have to potentially go through the journey of desperation and loss. But we can be assured of his peace. His peace that surpasses all understanding. Like we heard, surpasses the thoughts, the many thoughts that we have. You know, traveling with God through the journey and the struggle means that you're never alone. Even in the wilderness, Caleb was never alone. His presence is with you. You know, God does create paths in the desert and he does create a place for refreshing. And I know it to be true. His presence is real and he will never let you down during your struggle, during your time of desperation. And his peace will come to garrison your heart, to garrison your emotions, to garrison your life. And your protection will be with you. Are you needing God to take you to a place of peace? You know, the widow's husband was one of the sons of the prophets and he'd been a student of Elisha. And he'd been a faithful man. And that just showed me as I read that, you know, we are not immune to trials and tribulations. No matter what our position is, you know, oh God, don't you know who I am? But unfortunately, we all go through struggles. But thank goodness for his peace. When she approaches Elisha, she reminds him of her husband. He had been a prophet and he was learning from you and he was a good man. He was faithful, he loved God and he feared God. But you know, interestingly, we actually don't know what her name is. She's just been told to us that she is a widow. And when she comes to Elisha, she doesn't use her name, she uses her husband. And even though we don't know her name, God knew exactly who she was and he loved and he cared for her. You know, you may feel isolated or alone in your situation that you are facing, but God knows and he sees you. He knows your name. He knows exactly who you are. He even knows the number of hairs on your head. And for females, that is an amazing feat because I lose a lot of hair during the day. You know, we can't use our name, but we can use the name of Jesus. And that's the name that we can call upon. The name that is above every name. The name that is above every sickness, every struggle, every time of desperation that we go through. The name that demons tremble when they hear that name. The name where sickness is abolished in the name of Jesus. The name that is above every name. That is the powerful Jesus. That is the God that we serve. His name is so powerful this morning. And all we need to do is call upon his name, declare his name, and say his name in faith this morning. Because he loves us, because he cares for us, and he is with us. He died on the cross for you and I so that now we can stand on the victory side and declare his name with confidence and faith this morning. You know, in Acts 3 verse 6, when Peter and John were at the temple and there was a man there begging for alms, they said to him, and he was obviously he couldn't walk, and they said to him, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Not in my name, but the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And that's exactly what happened to that man. He rose up and walked because of the powerful name of Jesus. Who is this King of Glory? It is our Savior. It is our Redeemer. He is the Prince of Peace. He is our hope this morning. The name of Jesus. We can stand on that name in confidence. And just remember, he loves and he cares for you so much. He died on the cross for you this morning to take away everything. You know, the widow was in a place of shame and God wanted to take her to a place of freedom and relief from the shame. Have you ever felt like that? Feeling shame and trying to hide it, hoping no one will notice what's actually really going on inside of me. If people only knew, would they still like me? But I know someone who not only loves and cares for you, he died on the cross and took your shame so you no longer have to live with it, walk with it, and wake up with it in the morning. God has breakthrough and freedom for you. Bring it to him and allow him, his love, and his grace to wrap you. God is wanting to take you to a place of freedom. God is wanting to take you to a place of freedom. You know, little by little, the cupboards in her place became empty. So much so that when we read about her, all she has left is a jar of oil. And Elisha asks her, what do you have? And I imagine her looking around her house. You know, everything of value had potentially already been taken away or sold to try and pay off her debt. And what does she have left? Just a jar of oil. She responds, nothing except a jar of oil. And it didn't seem like much. What can be done with a jar of oil? The creditors want to take my boys, and all I have is a jar of oil. It doesn't seem like much in the natural, and it doesn't seem like it has much value. But in God's hands, what seems like little value in the natural can become miraculous in him. Look at the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Not much, but with God, they became miraculous and supplied food to so many people. He is the God of the miraculous. He is power and he is strength. You know, the widow didn't feel like she had much value, but God was going to take her to a place of revelation and truth that she was and is valued, that she has worth and that she is valuable to him. She may have felt insignificant, but God was going to show her she was a woman of significance. So much so that we are still talking about her today. Have you ever felt like that? Feeling like you have no value. Maybe people don't value what's actually inside of you. Maybe people don't value you in your family or in your job. Maybe you just don't feel valued in general. And some people like to drag you down and try to make you feel like you have no value and are no worth and are of no use. But when God steps in with his truth and his revelation and his love and care, you know that you are a person of value. But you know what? The good thing is God just doesn't leave you like that. He actually uses others around you to draw out what is of value in you. We at times don't see what is actually inside of us, and we need the Holy Spirit and those around us to show us, and that gives us the encouragement to step out in the giftings and the abilities and the value that is actually inside of us. Maybe you this morning need someone to pull out what is of value in you. Elijah needed Elijah to pull out the prophetic in him. This widow's husband needed Elisha to pull out the prophetic that was in him. You know, I know Pastor Naomi, when she was back in youth group, I know the leaders of that were with her pulled out what was inside of her, what was of value, her giftings and abilities. And now I see her doing it to the people around her, pulling out what is of value, pulling out those giftings and abilities. You know, there are people in here that you have so much to offer, so much to give. And right now I am drawing out of you your giftings and abilities. The Holy Spirit is drawing out your giftings and your abilities. The prophetic is being drawn out of you like never before. Your giving is being drawn out of you like never before. Your ability to lead us in worship is drawing us out like never before. This morning, how good was that time of praise and worship? You and I have the ability to draw things out of people when they're leading us into the presence of God. You this morning have the ability to draw out of me what's in me, what is of value because of the God that I serve and the God that is wanting to see restoration, health and hope in your heart, in your life. You know, I've just got a voice, as you can hear, and not a great singing voice, as maybe some of you have heard. But let me tell you, under the power of the Holy Ghost, not because of my words, but because of His truth and His revelation, it is drawn out of me. And this morning, you are drawing out of me what the giftings that God has given me because you are wanting to hear what God is wanting to say to you. We have the ability under the unction of the Holy Spirit to draw out what is inside each one of us, those giftings and those abilities. Have you ever had a moment where you've been talking to your friends and suddenly that your friend says something to you because they've seen something in you and they're drawing it out? You know, you might be laying your heart out to someone and suddenly they say something to you that is of wisdom and drawing out the fact that you can keep going on, that you can succeed, that you are more than a conqueror. There are things that the Holy Ghost is drawing out of people this morning because you are a gifted, talented people under the power of the Holy Ghost. Because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the... Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the... Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. We are going to see such great things in the life of this church because the Holy Spirit has been drawing, has been drawing, has been drawing, and will continue to draw. It just reminds me of a story back when I was in the Philippines, and I remember saying something to Trent about, you know, it was something to do with the prophetic, I think, and the next minute he was giving a prophetic word. I didn't really know him that well at that time, but you know what? Obviously the Holy Spirit did and used me to draw out the prophetic that was in him, and then he was able to go and encourage someone else. Thank goodness that we serve such a mighty God and can take our words and bring revelation into people's hearts and lives and draw out what is inside each one of us. And maybe that is what you are needing to hear. People to say positive things about you. Take note of what has been said over your life in the past. Connect the dots. God wants to take you to a place of value in your identity, in your giftings and your abilities, and in your worth. You know, what were the instructions from Elisha to the widow? He told her to borrow. Elisha tells the widow to go borrow. Something she may not have been expecting to hear. She had to get help from others. She was in debt, and now she was asked to go borrow. It seemed almost the opposite of what she potentially was expecting to hear from Elisha. She may have already borrowed things from her neighbors and friends to get by, and she may have felt embarrassed, but she followed Elisha's instructions. Even at her lowest point, she needed to do something. She needed to action his truth to her. Sometimes when we're going through something, we may need to go to those around us, people that we trust, and say, I need your help. I need someone to talk to. I need prayer. I need your wisdom. I can't do this on my own. I need your help. I no longer want to be isolated during my struggle and desperation, and I need help from my family around me. You know what? Desperation can do that. It draws out the family around you to help you. As many as you can. Don't skimp. Don't just get a few jars, but get as many jars as you can. And make sure they are empty jars. Not half empty, not three quarters empty, but completely empty. When something is empty, God can fill it with His breath, with His life, and with His miracle working power. Imagine her knocking on the neighbor's doors. I need to borrow some jars, but please make sure they are empty. I need to borrow empty jars. She was empty of answers and solutions and of which way to go, but God filled the empty. And God will fill the empty in your situation. In your struggle, He will fill the empty with answers and solutions, with pathways in your wilderness, with refreshing in your wilderness. He will fill the empty. Then Elisha said, go back to your house with your boys and shut the door. Shut the door on the creditor. Shut the door on any distractions. Shut the door on doubt and fear. Shut the door on the what ifs, shut the door and the confusion, shut the door on the questions, shut the door. When we're at our lowest, when we are desperate to hear from God, that's when we need faith like nothing else. I feel like I'm empty, but I will cling to faith. And that's why we need to shut the door on fear and doubt. Only faith and hope can come in. You know, when we're in a time of desperation and you have to hold on to faith like nobody's business, if you get a thought that you know is not true, shut the door on it. Don't let it keep speaking to you. You speak back to it with God's truth and God's hope and God's faith. Let faith speak to you. Let hope speak to you. Discredit the lie with the truth. Shut the door. Shut the door on those things. Shut the door on the lies. And listen to what God is wanting to say to you. So she shut the door, and it was only her boys and herself and the oil and the vessels, and she began to pour. She poured until there was no more jars left. And when this has happened, the oil stopped. And this is when she experienced overflow. She went back to Elisha after the jars were full and the oil had stopped. And in 2 Kings 4:7, she said this. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over. Not only was she able to pay off the debt, there was oil left over so she and her sons could live off of that. There was overflow. She had to pay off her debt, and then there was the overflow for her to live on. She had come to Elisha to see a way of getting the debt fixed, but God did more. He performed a miracle so she could pay the debt and also live. But she had to deal with first things first, the debt. She didn't ask for it, but due to her circumstances, it had happened. Not her fault, but now dealing with it and feeling the enormity of it. Once she had settled the debt, she could rejoice in the overflow of what God had done for her. The widow had been in a place of lack, but God was taking her to a place of overflow. Have you ever felt lack? Lack in finances, lack in relationships, maybe lack in solutions, maybe lack in understanding, maybe lack in wisdom. God wants to take you to a place of solutions. Is there something God is asking you to do first, though? Then once that is done, you will experience the overflow. Maybe it's forgiving something or someone. Maybe it's resolving an issue. Maybe it's apologizing for something. Maybe it's making steps to restore a relationship. Maybe it's paying off a debt. Maybe it's making a good, wise decision. Maybe it's just saving money. Is there something that God is asking you to do first? And then you're going to see the overflow. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do I do next to see restoration and overflow? When you have walked through struggle and desperation and God has taken you to a place of freedom and overflow, you know what? It gives you confidence for the next time. If struggles arise again, you will know how to speak to the struggle because you are more than a conqueror. You've done it once, you can do it again, because the God that we serve will be with you and He loves and cares for you. I wish we didn't have struggles, but we do. I wish we didn't have times of desperation, but we do. But you can rely this morning on the goodness of God, because He will take you to a place of peace. He will take you to a place of restoration. He will take you to a place of freedom. He will take you to a place of healing. And He will take you to a place of overflow. Because that is the God that we serve. What do you need this morning? What place of change do you need God to take you from to? Because He wants to this morning. Because He loves and He cares for you. Now I just want us to stand in His presence. And I actually just want to give you a moment to commune with your God who loves and cares for you. And if there's something that you are needing from Him, I know you might say, but He's heard before. But right now is your time, because this is a place that He has created for you. Just to share your heart with Him. God, this is what I'm feeling. God, this is what I'm struggling with. God, this barrenness is insurmountable. God, this pain, this emotion, whatever it is, God, is there something that I need to do first to now then experience the overflow?